You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
What are you doing later?
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy?
Fall Guy.
That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
Back to Young Bucks here on DK Sports Radio. This is your Pittsburgh Pirates Prospect Podcast. My name is Alex Stone. I am joined, as always, by my co-host, Jared Prugar. Jared, how's it going, man?
It's not too bad, Alex. It's the baseball season is underway. And for us to get here, what a sigh of relief.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, I know there was a full, not a full, but, you know, they played a full season last year, but it kind of feels like this is the real return of baseball. And it's not just because there are going to be people in the seats or anything. Baseball starts in April for me. That's March or April.
No, and I listen, man, we get the pomp and circumstance of opening day, that optimism, that ability to see opening day and see what it is. And, you know, it's a season, it's the day where you're actually expected to win, and you're expected, there are no expectations, you just go out and play. And I think that is absolutely huge.
So in that opening day, this might be low-hanging fruit, but he's only a prospect for a little while longer, so we have to talk about Cabrian Hayes.
I've never heard of him, Alex. Can you tell me a little bit more about him?
Yeah, he is the number 9 overall prospect by MLB Pipeline, and in his first at bat of this season, he goes yard, which is a heck of a way to reaffirm to everyone, like, no, last year wasn't a fluke. It wasn't just, you know, a hot September. That's really driving him right now. And you know what? I just did that big feature on him, and hearing about all the expectations that people have for this kid, whether it's, you know, Chad Cole saying, oh, the sky's the limit on how many gold gloves he can win, or Stephen Brault saying he's the best everyday ball player I've ever played with, or Kevin Pope, who was in my story, just flat out said, like, I said, what's your expectations for him? He's like, I can't put expectations on the kid because every time I do, he exceeds them. And he actually said the biggest one, the highest thing you could say possibly, was like potentially a Hall of Famer someday. Now that is obviously way, way, way too much to put on someone right now. But it is interesting that someone that he's worked with for so long is like, look, this guy's just going to go for it all. So I ask you, Jared Prugar, maybe not for career, but what are your 2021 Cabrian Hayes expectations?
That's a good question, Alex. You know, I honestly think he's going to be around the 300 mark as a hitter. I think he has the potential to be between 20, 25 home runs and drive in a bunch of runs. And I think, I mean, listen, let's be real. The glove has been major league ready for years, but it's the hitting that's had to come around. And obviously he made us all look like goofs because we're like, oh, well, the hitting's not there. The hitting's not there. Well, he's come up and he's hit. And that shot yesterday, man, what was it? 411 feet into a strong headwind.
Into the wind. Yeah.
Like that's a major league home run. And this kid's played in less than 30 games, which is absurd to me. So, I mean, the biggest thing is are those expectations realistic? What are realistic expectations for Cabrian Hayes? And do they have a limit? Because the way that he has played through his just the short portion of his career, it's absurd. And in a good way. Obviously he's one of the few prospects that's come up and had immediate success. And not only that, but sustained it too. Right. Because you have these prospects that are like a flash in the pan and they're like, boom, home run first game or 3 for 3. And then they just kind of trickle off or taper off, but he's withstood it. And he's showed every game that he deserves to be there and deserves to be there for a long time.
I'm going to put this with expectations. Mine are high, but I mean that this, if he doesn't, you know, achieve everything that I say, it's not like a grand disappointment or anything. I'm just so ridiculously high on this young man as a player, as a person, just, you know, as the face of this franchise and this rebuild. So my expectations, I'll agree that he'll hit somewhere around 300. He'll show some pop. I think he's going to win Rookie of the Year. I don't think that's too outlandish a prediction, you know, preseason, to be like, this guy's going to win Rookie of the Year. And my best comp, I've said this for a couple years, that if he could figure out his swing, that the Pirates had a legitimate chance of having their version of Matt Chapman at third base. He certainly has the glove for it. And you know what? That bat looks good. So if, you know what, if Brian Hayes can put up like just, I say just even, like it's not, you know, wouldn't be like a great season, but somewhere along like a 850 OPS, this guy is going to be in serious awards talk, definitely Rookie of the Year this year, and then in the future, like potentially MVP. Like, no, I think this guy is maybe the best position player prospect in baseball right now.
Right. And pretty soon he's not even going to be a prospect. So he's going to be up there. And I think top five position players in all of baseball, solely based on his glove alone, but the bat can play too. And I wouldn't be surprised if he didn't end up in the All-Star game. I mean, obviously it's one game, and I think he was 1-for-5 on opening day, which it is what it is. But like, you got to think about it this way too. You're coming out from a warm weather climate to a cool weather climate. That's probably the biggest adjustment that he'll have to make. And it's been a while since he's had to make it, right? So I think once he gets adjusted to that, to the weather, he's going to be more than ready. And I'm very excited to see how this plays out for him as we move on throughout the rest of the season, because I think he has not only like the ability to play the game, but to bring the game to Pittsburgh as far as making Pittsburgh Pirates baseball fun to watch again. And that's something that obviously that was not fun to watch in a good way last season and even in years prior. So, you know, he has that, I don't want to make that reference to Kutch because I think they're very different personality wise, but when McCutcheon was on the team, everybody wanted to watch the Pirates because they were fun, but now everybody wants to watch the Pirates because of how good Brian Hayes can and could be.
Yeah. And the Kutch comparison is obviously going to be something that Hayes just has throughout, you know, however long this rebuild takes, just because, you know, Kutch was the first person through the wall in that rebuild. Hayes is the first person through the wall this time around. They're both, you know, superstar quality prospects who have the potential, I guess I should say, for superstardom. You know, they are the two best hitter. They were the two best hitters in that farm system whenever they were called up. There is going to be a lot of stuff like that. But, you know, having covered a little bit of the Pirates whenever Kutch was around, like Kutch did have that personality that really drew people to him. Talking to people from the alternate site last year, talking to Brian Esposito, who managed it, it was interesting to see people were drawn to Cabrian. Like, because he's not the most outgoing guy, but they recognized, like, look, this is the guy. And you know what? Key to his credit, he was, you know, maybe not like rah-rah type of leader, but he was that stoic figure in the center head, to the point that someone like Lovier Peguero goes on a group Zoom call and he's like, man, I was talking to Cabrian. He's saying, I'm going to be waiting for you. That makes me so happy. I'm so excited for that opportunity. Like, and he gave the same thing back to Peguero. And it's like, you know what? That very well could be the left side of the infield starting in 2022. So there's a lot of, he's at the heart of this nucleus. I think that's the thing. He's a different personality than Kutch, but he's still at that heart of what the Pirates are going to be building around. And I think that's important. That's just one more thing to put on this young man, you know, but he looks like he's going to be ready to do it.
No, and I think that's a good point, because obviously, like, you talk about faces of the franchise, and Kutch was the face of the franchise for a long time, and deservedly so. But he had the charisma and the personality that backed that up, that backed up that face of the franchise. And yeah, he could hit. And you can say what you want about being a center fielder, but Cabrian is the nucleus because of how good he is on the field. When he was in Altoona in 2018, I think it was, when he played for Michael Ryan, you know, you see him, and he was just so businesslike as a player. And obviously with the pedigree that he had, that's in his family, with his brother being a professional baseball player and his dad being an MLB athlete as well. You know, you have that professional makeup and the professional demeanor, and that's not something that you see all the time at that level in the years that I've covered the Pirates system. So, I mean, he's had that makeup and that personality. He is driven, and he has got that lead by example type deal. Like, you look at that glove, man, he could have been a major league ready. He was major league ready when the Pirates got him, right? So now that the bat's coming around, it's just that other example that he is a five-tool guy that has the potential to be a league leader, not just at his position, but overall. And that's something the Pirates haven't had in quite some time.
Especially at third base. I mean, I know Pedro was going to be the big guy there, but he never really panned out, even though he did win a Silver Slugger. I think it was fair to say that, not a bust, but definitely underachieved there. I don't see that happening with Hayes. I mean, just what he brings on defense, it's such a good, solid floor of, you know, even if he doesn't hit that well, this guy could at least be a major league average player, which wouldn't be enough for the Pirates, but it's not a bad floor to have.
No, absolutely. And I think that's fair. That's fair to, you know, he's going to be compared to a bunch of different players and a bunch of different players, both around the league and throughout the Pirates organization from years and years ago. So it'll be interesting to see who he can kind of be compared to, because every comparison to me is high praise for a kid like Cabrian Hayes. And let's not forget that he is still just a kid when we talk about experience and everything else that goes along with it.
Well, he's going to be fun. And I think this might be the last time we ever talk about Key on this show, because like we said, he's about to graduate from prospect lists. I think it's 130 plate appearances officially. And he's what, at like 100 right now. So come this time next week, we may no longer have Cabrian Hayes, the prospect. Hey, we're going to take a quick break. Whenever we come back, we're going to talk about not only the major league ready prospects, but which team in the minor leagues, which affiliate might be the most exciting to watch this year.
It's Kaylee Cuoco for Priceline. Ready to go to your happy place for a happy price? Well, why didn't you say so? Just download the Priceline app right now and save up to 60% on hotels. So whether it's Cousin Kevin's Kazoo Concert in Kansas City, go Kevin! Or Becky's Bachelorette Bash in Bermuda, you never have to miss a trip ever again. So download the Priceline app today. Your savings are waiting.
Go to your happy place for a happy price. Go to your happy price, Priceline.
Get ready for the greatest roast of all time, The Roast of Tom Brady, a Netflix live event happening May 5th, hosted by Kevin Hart. The seven-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady, live only on Netflix.
With threats to our nation waiting around every corner, adaptability is more important than ever. When conditions change without notice, quick strategic thinking is crucial. And with obstacles consistently impending, determination is essential in overcoming them. It's this willingness, decisiveness, and resilience that sets Marines apart. With our fighting spirit, we don't just fight battles, we win them. Marines are the constant our nation counts on to fight the unknown. And through adaptable problem solving, we do just that. Learn more at marines.com.
And welcome back to Young Bucks here on DK Sports Radio. My name is Alex Nump. I'm joined by Jared Brugard. Jared, we don't know officially what the minor league rosters are going to look like. And there is a lot of fluctuation coming. There might even be some fluctuation from what the Pirates have in pencil right now. because Ben Cherington has said, you know, because it's been so long that some of these players have been away from the team, you have to be open to, hey, you know, we really thought this guy was going to be going to Greensboro. He's got to go to Altoona. He's ready to go, you know, push him a little bit. And in the same vein, there could be guys who maybe are on that cusp of two spots and you send him to Greensboro just for a little bit and then to Altoona. So with that in mind, just us looking at where these prospects might land. If I know you're based out of Altoona, but if you could only cover one of these teams, which one would it be in 2021?
Selfishly, I like Altoona just because.
Which one would be the most exciting?
Selfishly, I'd obviously pick Altoona because I want to be surrounded by curb burgers and roller coasters. But I honestly think that Greensboro is going to be the most exciting. I think that's where guys like Nick Gonzalez are going to start out. But I think at the same time, it's such a crapshoot right now because we don't know. We don't know what kind of development went on at the alternative site last year. So guys like Figuero and Gonzalez, where are they going to go? Where should they go? Because it's very possible that, you know, I think honestly that this Altoona site for Gonzalez was huge because he just bypassed rookie ball altogether. So he's been acclimated to a higher level of athlete, higher level of play. So I think that was huge. But how much does that matter in the end? Because where does he go from there? Does he start in Bradenton? Does he start at the bottom and work his way up rather quickly? Does he start in Greensboro? Does he start in Altoona? You know, we don't know. And obviously their camp is just about to get underway. So it's just one of those situations where you've got to see where they're at. And I think he's a guy that, where do you put a guy like Nick Gonzalez? Obviously got the invite to spring training this year. So that's huge as a guy right out of college from last year, getting drafted last year. So where does he fall? But I do think that Greensboro is the leader in the clubhouse right now. I think AAA is going to be crowded and not in a necessarily good way. Because some of those guys, it's going to be like that quad A, that they're going to be up, down, depending on the situation. And I think Altoona is just going to be here for my enjoyment and my pleasure, depending on who they have. Because, like we said, we don't know what they've got, and they don't know either until they get there and see what it's like and can evaluate and process that information and see how these players have grown.
Yeah, I'm going to agree with you. This doesn't make for great fake radio, but just I'm going to agree with you that Greensboro is going to be the most interesting because too many talented players are going to at least pass through Greensboro at some point. Like someone like Nick Gonzalez is tough to 100% project where he wants to go. He was all considered to be one of the most, if not the most major league ready hitter out of last draft class, and that not in like, you know, a Daniel Moskos most major league ready, but like, this guy's hit tool is just so developed, you know, he could go up into the higher levels probably. So I see him starting in Greensboro. I see Pagero starting in Greensboro. I see Priester starting in Greensboro. Honestly, maybe they go to Bradenton for him, but they're not going to be in Greensboro all year. Is my main point. I think Altoona at the end of the year is going to be the most happening spot. I think in 2022, Altoona is going to be the most happening spot. But right now, Greensboro is it. It's that core players that I think the future of this organization is really going to be built around. Whenever we say, you know, 2023, 2024, this team's going to be actually really good if these guys are developed properly. It's that core of players, you know, the Priesters, the Gonzalez's, the Pagueros, the Malones, the Jinskis, the Yeeds, the Hudson Heads is a step behind. Hudson Head's going to be in Bradenton probably to start. But just a lot of good, young, talented players like that, that I think make it's the future of the organization, grand, all things considered.
Right, and I think something you also have to consider too is we talked about the infield of the future last year with Pagero, Brian Hayes, and Gonzalez. Well, do they keep Pagero and Gonzalez together as they come up through the system? what happens when if one's a little bit further advanced than the other? But I do think that they'll all start in Greensboro, like you said. And I think it'll be interesting to see if they make that jump together, and whether there are trades at the big club or moves that the big club makes that kind of dictate their progress and where they're at by the end of the year. I think they do all end up in Altoona eventually. Hopefully sooner rather than later, so that I don't have to put nearly as many miles on my car. But at some point, I do think that they'll be in Altoona, and I think that's something to be excited for the people of this community and for the people in the organization as well.
Yeah. And I'm looking forward towards the end of the year in Altoona. Like, I'm going to make a couple trips out to Altoona because it's a day trip. Now, it's a real easy thing. But if the Pirates push Quinn Priester, and so far they kind of have pushed Quinn Priester a little bit, and that's why he's been, you know, skyrocketing up prospect lists. I don't think it's outrageous to think that maybe Priester ends the year in Altoona.
No, and I think that's fair too. And I think that would be a lot of fun to have that trio and whoever else comes with them. But like you said, I'm excited just to see the rosters. I think that's going to be the most exciting thing for me, because we don't know what to expect. And when you don't know what to expect, man, that's just wild. And I think that's going to be, I think the most entertaining thing coming up outside of what the big club does, it's what these rosters finally look like when they're ready towards the end of the month.
I don't think it's outrageous to say that, like, if you could have, it's not going to be as good a quality product, but Greensboro is going to be more interesting about the future. There are probably going to be more future parts in Greensboro for like that 2024 team than there are going to be on the major league roster right now. Like, there are a handful that are on this opening day team right now, but there's also a lot of like Polanco's, Frazier's, yeah, Michael Perez's, guys like Richard Rodriguez. Like, they're either going to get traded or let go at some point over the next 4 years. Well, I think a good chunk of that next Pirates competitive team are going to start off this year's teammates. And what you said about Peguero and Gonzalez, just to throw 2 cents in there, I'm sure the Pirates would love to keep these two together. They like them as a middle infield. I think they're the middle infield of the future. They like working together. But like you said, if one of them really just doesn't catch up, you do have to break them up at some point. But I think they have enough of a rapport now that that wouldn't be too catastrophic.
No, absolutely. And I think that's going to be huge to keep in mind moving forward as well. So it's going to be interesting to see. Like I said, I haven't been this excited to see rosters before. Because, I mean, let's look at it under the old regime before Charrington took over. There was nothing after AAA. Like, last year was not going to be a good year in the system for the Pirates. And all that talent had kind of gone right up to AAA, and it was busting on the doors for Major Leagues, just like we're seeing. But now they've started to kind of reload that system, and they've started to make the Pirates farm system more enjoyable, more exciting, and something to look forward to again, like it was a couple of years ago when these guys were winning the AA Eastern League Championship.
Hey, we're going to take one more break. Whenever we come back, what did we learn on the show today? Welcome back for one last segment of Young Bucks. Jared, what did we learn on the show today?
You ask me this every week, Alex, and it's the same thing. I can't wait for curb burgers and coasters. The Pirates farm system is going to be at times, and honestly, yesterday was kind of, or not yesterday, but Thursday, because they were off Friday, which I hate. You start off that one game and then you're off and then boom. But on Thursday, the Pirates are fun to watch, man. But I think moving forward, the Pirates farm system is going to be a lot more exciting and entertaining than we've seen in quite some time. And I'm very excited to be able to bounce around the minor leagues this year and see some of these teams in person and see some of these guys develop, because you look at guys like Nick Gonzalez and Peguero and all those guys, it's going to be a lot of fun to see what they're able to do in a non-controlled environment in actual games for the first time in what feels like forever.
I think what I learned, and I guess this is more a realization, but just me putting two and two together while talking, like, this might be the last time we could ever talk about Ke'Bryan Hayes as a prospect, because he's 30 plate appearances away from shedding that rookie status. And, you know, six games, it's not outrageous to think, you know, a guy hitting second in the order will get five plate appearances a game. This might be it.
This is
any parting thoughts on Key?
As somebody that's been able to watch him the last few years, you know, he is one heck of a baseball player, but he also does it the right way. Right. I don't think that he's a guy that you're going to have to worry about getting in very much trouble. And I think the way that he trains and the way that he is able to put everything together, I don't think he's going to have a very big injury history either. So hopefully for not only our sake, so we can keep talking about him, but for the Pirates fans and the Pirates in general, he stays healthy and we get to see Ke'Bryan Hayes be Ke'Bryan Hayes. Not just now, but for the foreseeable future. And if we're able to do that, I think it's going to be a very big factor in turning around really what the expectations of this franchise should be.
Should we play like graduation music whenever he
As
officially
we go on, we remember all the times we had together.
I'm holding up the cell phone.
But
lighter.
It is a sad time because it's for me, like, you think about it, I've seen him since he was in triple or in double A 3 years ago, right? 2 years ago. So I mean it's wild to think that. But you know, he can't be in the minors forever, as much as some people would like to be, and I don't know why you would like to be, unless you're a minor league beat reporter or cover the Pirate system. But no, I'm excited to see what he can do. And I'm excited to see the future too, because, you know, we talked about this a couple times already, is when you look back and you look back to when Kutch and those guys were coming up through the system, there was excitement for when they would get to Pittsburgh. Now, I think we're starting to see that all over again. And that's something that we haven't had in quite some time. And look at what happened when those guys got to Pittsburgh for McCutcheon. They helped turn around the franchise from being perennial losers to just, we're going to win every once in a while, but we're still going to lose.
Well, with that bit of optimism, we thank you for listening to Young Bucks here on DK Sports Radio. Be sure to follow or subscribe to both Jared and me and the whole feed in general. Be sure to listen to Jared's We Are podcast. I do the podcast to be named later. Thank you for listening. We'll talk again next week.
All right, so we are back, and